Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Midos Lamed Zayin, Midos 37b, pagination is 74, the final daf of the Masechta. We'll start from Mishneh Gimel midway on the page. Sheish Lishkos Hayu Bo Azara, there were six rooms by the Azara. We're referring to the Ezas Yisrael, the area where the non-Kohen was able to still go. And adjacent to that area, on its perimeter, to the right and to the left, which is north and south, there were rooms. Shalosh Betzafon, three on the northern side. For orientation purposes, that's the side of the Shulchan. V'shalosh Bedarom, and three on the southern side, that's the side of the menorah. The Shulchan and Menorah were further in, closer to the Kodesh Kadoshim. This is still the Ezras Yisrael, where the regular Jew is able to go. Shebet Safon, the northern rooms, these are their names. Lishkas HaMelach, the room of salt. Lishkas HaParva, and Lishkas HaMadichin. Lishkas HaMelach, what was the salt room used for? Shama Yunos HaMelach LeKarban, that's where they put salt for the carbon. So just in general sense, salt was stored on the ramp of the Mizbeach. The carbonos had to be salted before they were put on the Mizbeach. And there was also salt for salting the hides. Lishkas HaParva, in the Parva room, Shama Yumolchem Oros Kodshim, that's where they salted the hides of the Kodshim. Now, if you look at the top of the page, the commentary on the fourth line writes, Lokach nikres parva, and that's where the word parva comes from, al shem oros haparim, because the hides of the bulls that was most noticeable in this room, and so its use generated the name of the room, just like the other ones. It stored salt, so it's called the Room of Salt. So it stored the hides of animals, so it's called, from the word parim, parva. The other approach to the word parva is actually related to the next statement in the Mishnah. The algaga, on the roof of the Beis HaParva, there was a mikvah for the Kohen Gadol to be used on Yom Kippur. And the word parva is, according to this other pshat, a name of the person who was instrumental in building this mikvah. The description is that he was a sorcerer, which prompts quite a bit of discussion in the commentaries. If he was a sorcerer, so maybe he did tshuva, and he used to be a sorcerer. I think the easiest approach over here is that he was an engineer and is only recorded as a sorcerer. In other words, in the words of the ordinary folk, they thought he was a magician. What he was able to do was, by using a pipe, he was able to pipe the water naturally in a way that it was still kosher for mikvah, finding its own height from a high place adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash to this second story where the mikvah for the Kohen Gadol was situated. And he was simply an engineer. He was a smart person. And because he did this in a way that other people viewed as sorcery, like, how did he pull that off? He hid the pipes, whatever he did. So the room, even the base room, was known by his name. On its roof was this special, famous mikvah that he created. Lishkas HaMadichin, the third room of washing something, Shishem Ho Yamadichim Kirvei HaKadshim, the innards of the Kadshim, were removed from the refuse that they contained, umisham mesiba, and from this room, ola legag beis haparva, there was a circular staircase to get up to the roof of the beis haparva. So apparently, the roof of the beis haparva, that the mikvah, was not accessed from the beis haparva itself, it was accessed from the lishkas hamadichim, which was adjacent to it. Shabidarum, the Mishnayis continue. What about the southern rooms? Lishkas ha'etz, lishkas ha'gola, lishkas ha'gozis. We'll just focus on the third. Lishkas ha'gozis, the room of the hewn stone. So that is the room, 4 lines later. Lishkas ha'gozis, shamayisa, Sanhedrin Gidola Shal Yisrael Yosheves. That's where the Sanhedrin Hagadol of 71 would sit, and one of its functions, as we'll see in a moment, Vidana es HaKuhuna, and they would judge on people who would get to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Of all the things that they did, the Mishnah chooses, presumably, the one, for this reason, that has to do very much with the Masechta that we're dealing with, whether a person can do the Avoda in this amazing structure that we've been describing all along. Now, the Lishkas HaGozes were told in the beginning of Parashas Mishpatim that it's supposed to be situated Eitzel HaMizbeach. The Sanhedrin is supposed to be situated opposite the Mizbeach, because Mizbeach is the topic at the end of Parshas Yisro, and the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim is all about laws, judged by the Sanhedrin. Ve'ilah HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lefneim, they're going to be in charge. So we're told that the Sanhedrin should be situated by the Mizbeach. There are many reasons given for that in terms of the insight. One of the easiest is to appreciate that the Mizbeach, like tefillah, prayer, is what we offer to Hashem, our gift to Hashem, our communication to Hashem. The Sanhedrin represents Torah, represents Hashem's communication to us. And the two of them have to be situated together because that's communication. If it's a one-sided conversation, it's not a conversation. It's us talking to Hashem, and Hashem through Torah talking to us back and forth. It's worth commenting, as we often do, to be aware that when we say Torah is the word of Hashem, we're not expecting Hashem's personal prophecy actively to be heard by each individual person. That communication is through Torah, and Hashem entrusted Torah to the dedicated scholars of the generation. Scholar being someone who's totally dedicated to that system. And those Talmidei Chachamim, those Torah scholars who were chosen to be on the Sanhedrin of 71, that was the high court, that's the one that was able to rule if there was a disagreement in the Jewish people. They were considered the final word, as described in Chumash Devarim, Parshas Shoftim. So again, back to the Mishnah, V'dona Sakuhuna, and they judged Kohanim. V'kohen shenimtza bo psul, if a Kohen was found to be unfit to do the Avoda, lovish shechorim, he would wear dark clothing, u'masatev shechorim, he would wrap himself in dark clothing, a sign of mourning, of disappointment, v'yotze v'holechlo, and he would leave. V'shalo nimtza bo psul, and if a person who was reputed to be a Kohen and nothing bad was found, so that he's endorsed to do the avoda, lovish levonim, he would wear white, literally, u'masatif levonim, he would wrap himself in white, nichnas, and he would enter, u'meshamish emechav ha-kohanim, and he would do the service together with his brothers, the kohanim, v'yomtev hayu osim, and they would make a yomtev, shalonim tzapso bezara shal aron ha-kohen, that there was nothing found wrong in the descendant of Aaron. So this was like a communal celebration, a joy, just like we have joy in the Davidic dynasty and we pray for their success, the successors of David. So here also that Aaron's children should be successful in being able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And this is what they would say. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, blessed is Hashem, blessed is He, Shalonimtza P'so B'zara Shal Aaron. We're so grateful that nothing wrong was found in the descendants of Aaron. Baruch Hu Shabocha B'Aaron Uvavonov, and blessed is He who chose in Aaron and his children La'amod, to stand, L'shoris L'fnei Hashem, to serve in front of Hashem, B'veis Kodshei HaKadoshim, even as far as the Kodesh Kadoshim itself, meaning the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. And of course, we invoke the words that we found towards the end of Meseches Tamid, which is the related Mesechta here. Yihi Ratzon, may it be Hashem's will, Sheyibana Beis HaMikdash B'mheira V'yameinu, that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt speedily and in our days. Hadun Allah Meseches Midos, we daven for the opportunity to learn the Mesechta more thoroughly in the future. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.